Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our special guest speaker. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
I have been up here many times, communion, devotions, just saying hello, worshiping, but never in this capacity. And I have to say, I'm like excited and scared. Thank you very much for being so sweet and cheering me on. Well, let's do this thing, huh? There's nowhere to go but forward. Guys, does your heart ever kind of like drop when we hit that Thanksgiving start towards the holiday chorus that is year after year, that is our lives, right? Do you hear a lot of static when people around you are saying, be joyful, or happy Thanksgiving, or joy to the world? You're not alone. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I really, really, really love the holidays. Love the holidays. I am a bona fide Thanksgiving side chick. That's right. I'm here for it. Mashed potatoes, cranberries, my mom back there in the corner. Hi, mom. My mom. Yes. Cheer her on. She makes a Thanksgiving leftover turkey soup that is my favorite meal. She makes it every year, and last year I think she made it just for me because I was the only one that asked. I am called a Hallmark Queen of Christmas. I am in it all. I love the Christmas caroling. I love Christmas movies. I love Christmas movie watching. I love Santa. I love the shopping. You name it, I done it. I think we have a view of our Christmas tree. I'm just kidding. I think that might have been Macy's, but it's in my heart. It's in my heart. I've attended all the things. I listen to all the things. I prep all the things. I do all the things. I love all the things. I'm tired with some of the things. I'm frustrated by some of the things. I'm annoyed by some of these things. I'm alone in this thing. Only I can fix this thing. Well, I think I just have to give up this thing. You see, duetting this epic holiday season is a noise that drowns out the sound of God's voice in our life. We've all experienced this. It's the voices coming at you, urging you to overwhelm your present, demanding, if I don't get this on the calendar, then it won't be good for my kid, for my spouse, for my friend, for my coworker, and then, or it's that one person that's drowning out your hearing with the endless political, with the endless opinion, with the endless perspective, with an endless conspiracy. I am guilty of that. And literally, every store that you walk into right now is an overwhelming experience. How fun it can be until you are standing in the line at the Jewel, getting that one can of jellied cranberries because Aunt Susie cannot stand the real ones and you want it to be just right. But now you've been in that line for 2 hours, and the overhead music has played the same Christmas selection again, and the kid behind you in the cart is absolutely losing his mind. This is the false noise of our season. And I'm here to tell you that through faith, you have someone with you, over you, and acting for you. You have Jesus. So let's turn down the volume of the world so that we can be attentive and intentional to slow down a beat and listen for him, because Jesus is present in the noise. Jesus is sovereign over your noise. And Jesus is creative with the noise in your life. Let's unpack this. The Bible is full of verses highlighting that no matter what, Jesus is speaking to you. There truly is never a moment when he's not with you. Jesus is present in the noise. And we see this really well in John 10:27. The sheep that are my own, hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me. The sheep that are my own, hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me. In preparing for this message, I found myself spiraling into the noise of my own mind. The nerves of doing this for the first time, they're resounding on me, especially last Tuesday. I truly had moments where I thought, I am so alone in this, what am I even doing? There's no way it should be this hard. There's no way that I have heard him right. Feeling overwhelmed and frankly a little defeated, Jim and I went to the Neumeyer's house, a thrive, fun night, a Taco Tuesday that they host just as an open door. Oh, I was not my best emotionally. I was really short with Jim. I was letting what I was hearing inside frustrate me to the point of annoyance. That's not me. The Hongs, lovely Adrian led this morning. The Hongs were at dinner that night too. And when Haram encouragingly asked, how's the sermon prep going? I flatly said, I am nervous and I can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. Kiefer's are gone. I'm all you got.
We're glad.
Oh. Thank you. He did something so matter-of-factly. He said, well, I'll pray for you. I'm practicing praying in the moment. So before you leave tonight, I'm going to pray for you. And that's what he did. After dinner, before we were leaving, he stopped as I was like literally trying to book out the door. He stopped me and said, let's do this. And Haram grabbed Rebecca, his mother-in-law, and Adrian, and they prayed for me. Jesus used their voices. Not only did he use them, he gave them the language to pray over me that I had already written in my sermon.
Wow.
I needed to lower the noise in my mind to hear his voice. Jesus is present with you. He's in the middle of the noise. So when you drop the noise of the world, or in my case, my own mind, his peaceful, still, small voice is really clear. There's never a time that he's not speaking to you or through those around you. So when I was honest with Haram over dinner about the anxiety that I was enmeshed in, where I was functioning completely in my own limited capacity, I was listening to myself. I was listening to the meetings that I had had all day, to the planning that I had spent that day. How easily did the noise of my world amp up as I felt the perceived weight of this Sunday? A Sunday without my pastors. A Sunday where I was responsible for the Thanksgiving sermon. One that had changed so many times in a few days that I was sincerely frustrated. I was hearing the massive turkey giveaway that happens tomorrow, where 80 families' meals are gotten together and given out. 80 families. That's Thrive. That's Kevin McKaylee back there. But I was hearing the busy of that. The prep for my own turkey day with my family, because we have a big one. And I am on mashed potatoes and red cabbage this year. When Haram said, I'll pray for you, I accepted it, but not because I was actually ready to receive the prayer. I accepted it because I attuned to my friend who is practicing his obedience to God in the moment in prayer. He was putting what he heard into practice, and I wanted to be with him in that. I didn't want prayer. I said, okay, let's do it, right? I might have even falsely been happy. I wasn't. My mind was filled with that false noise. I didn't think it would make a difference. And then, standing in the busy kitchen mid-cleanup, Jesus showed me just how over everything he really is. His sovereignty over my noise cut through it all. Adrian prayed for me, words my soul needed, words he said to me before when I'm unconfident. His voice through Rebecca and Haram said things I had just written down in my sermon notes, things I had not shared, not even with Jim. How much over it all is that, right? They invited me into turning down the sounds around me. They invited me into his presence, and then he showed up again. Just how much he reigns over my life. He showed up again. How much he knows my thoughts? How much he knows my heart? Jesus is sovereign over the noise. Jesus is carrying you and the world and the lives around us. Christ's sovereignty is all around us. He's in control and over it all, including the cacophony of the world. The Bible shows us this too, and yet I still find myself surprised by its truth in moments like this. Colossians 1:16 is a really, really beautiful scripture. It highlights this really well. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. All things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. And the Bible displays this intentional Jesus. It's how intentional he is, right? Within his creation, his plans, his purposes. There's such good truth in Romans 8:28. For we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Dang. Come on, Jesus. What else, right? Man. Look at the moments that Jesus had crafted into place to get me to turn down the world to recognize his voice. He took my daily frustration, my poor attitude, and placed Haram in my path, a guy who's practicing praying in the moment. With Haram's obedience to what God's calling him to practice, he encouraged Rebecca and Adrian to stop the motion in a busy kitchen, and they slowed down for Jesus' voice for me. Then, in Jesus' way, together with Holy Spirit, he spoke his love, his plan, his purpose into me. He gave them exact wording from what I had written hours before. What I had questioned was from him to begin with. My noise turned way down. And all I could do after that was say thank you. I spent the next day in worship over that one moment. Because my heart was in tune with his heart. He did it all. I had to say thank you. That's wild. That's wildly creative. Now, you guys, I know you may not be musical, and I know I'm using a lot of musical terminology, a lot of language. This is how I relate most to Jesus, because he made me a creative. He made me a musician. But he himself is the creator. And we are his poema. Poema is the Greek word. It's a noun that means of the works of God as creator. The word poema is the origin to the English word poem. In the Bible, Paul uses poema in Ephesians 2 to describe God's work of the church as his handiwork or craftsmanship. Paul says that we are God's poema, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The song of our lives is structured in Jesus' poetic way of creation. Jesus is so creative with the noise in your life. Your life is his masterwork of art. His crafting of you and planning for you is illogically creative. We can't even understand how many layers he used to create us. His poema. He uses everything for our good in ways we'll never fully process ourselves. And when you know his voice, when you hear it in your life, when you experience being fully seen by God, your heart can't help but fill with thanksgiving. You can't help but act on it. He speaks to you in the middle of the noise of your life, but his voice inside you is delicate. Sometimes it requires you to rest into him to hear it. You are crafted to hear Jesus through the quietness of his voice inside you. And Jesus repeatedly tells us that you can hear him. Sometimes he's speaking directly to you. We know his still small voice amid the noise. A great example is Elijah. Amid the absolute chaos of his life, God revealed his still voice in 1 Kings 1:9 through 12. Listen first for the chaos, and then discover where the Lord was. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and with a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks to pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Listen to what Elijah heard. Wind tearing down a mountain, rocks breaking into pieces, an earthquake, a fire, and then a still small voice. There it is, a still small voice. That's how God speaks to us. Are you tuned into it? Do you know the voice? Let's practice like Haram. Let's pray together right now that we would hear it. So posture yourselves how you feel comfortable, and I'll pray. Spirit, breathe on us now. Expand our hearing to the still small voice of your grace. Turn down the world around us that we would rest into you and know your voice within. Amen. Other times, his voice is spoken to you through the people and the powers around you, acting through Holy Spirit. Mary, mother of Jesus, is my favorite view of the creative way that she was spoken to, seen, blessed, and then felt compelled to act out her thankful heart. Her song of thanks is labeled the Magnificat in Luke. And this thanks poured out of her after hearing from the Holy Spirit through the angel Gabriel, a young girl who had a very, very crazy thing happen. And this is what came out of her. I mean, can you imagine the noise in Mary's parents' house when she delivered her big news about her big delivery? Can you? Blessed for sure. But I can imagine that bombshell. Yet in the extreme, nearly incomprehensible moment of being fully seen and spoken to and chosen and blessed among women, Mary's response was this glorious thankfulness and praise. She said, "My soul magnifies and exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has looked with loving care on the humble state of his maidservant. For behold, from now on, all generations will count me blessed and happy and favored by God. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, to be worshipped in his purity, majesty, and glory. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who stand in great awe of God and fear him. I love her thanks. When she rejoices with, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, to be worshipped in his purity, majesty, and glory."
Yes.
Wow. That is the cadence of a thankful heart. Knowing the life she would have. Knowing people would distrust her and not believe her. Knowing she carried God literally, physically inside her body. And she responded with that. No panic. No freak out. The Bible is clear. Thanks. Making space in the cacophony of your life is essential in hearing his voice. It's the needed step to tune your heart towards his grace. So where can you let go of the sounds around you and open yourself to the sound of his voice? I think that you start with the everyday bits. The very first time I felt God's voice cut through the noise in my life is truly ordinary and exactly me. I was overwhelmed. Surprise! I was overwhelmed in the tasks of the afternoon leading up to a ministry event that we were throwing here at Thrive. And it was my first ministry night as a staff member, so several years ago. I was newly on staff for special events here. And Jim and I had begun coursework with the School of Kingdom Ministry. School of Kingdom Ministry is Thrive's and the Vineyard's at large a training program to help people learn to hear Holy Spirit and act through Holy Spirit. So that afternoon, I had a small window of time, and I was trying to relax, as I often do, by getting a Starbucks and heading to Target. Specifically the Target nail polish aisle. I know. Oh, the store was super hot. My mind really wasn't clearing, and I just wanted to find a freaking nail polish color so I could, like, paint my nails, you know? That's all. In frustration, I said in my head something that I had been practicing in my class. I practiced asking the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do, and I asked with annoyance. I said, "You're always speaking, so will you just tell me a color? I'm like over this." I said that to God, right? I'm like so over this. No kidding. Immediately, I heard teal. It's not my color. I'm a pink girl. You know, I was looking at a row of pink, right? And right there, right underneath that row of pink, was a teal nail polish, right in the middle, right in my line. And so I grabbed it, annoyingly. I was like, okay, and I picked it up, and I walked to the checkout, and I went home, and I painted my nails with my Insta-Dry teal nail polish, and I came right back to church. I prayed for 10 people that night, you guys. Deep prayer. Emotional prayer. And every time I looked at my hands laid on someone, I saw the Holy Spirit's teal color on me. I looked at my hands as I laid someone up, and I saw his voice on my hands. On me. He spoke. He showed up for me. And then he used my voice and my hands to be his voice and his hands. I couldn't stop my heart from thanks. I was thankful in every single prayer that I prayed that night. He was on me, and I heard it. And I was doing what he needed me to do. That thanks overwhelmed me in the absolute best way. His one word, teal, it muted my brattiness. His response marked me. He used my reluctant willingness to trust him and that I heard him. He used it all. One word, met with human frustration, turned glorious with his action. Make your best effort to meet God's voice with your trust. Buy the nail polish. However small the task or the ask, it's intentional. And in my case, personal and layered in creative moments that draw me closer to Jesus. When you act on what you hear from Jesus, your faith skyrockets. Your need to be attentive to his voice and his plans, they root themselves inside you. They root themselves in your heart when you do. You want to be in his life with him. You can't help but voice your thankfulness. You can't contain the desire to walk your song out with the master. Your life, your body, your thought process begins to carry the cadence of Christ inside you. You are not the same. You've learned to trust his will, his small voice inside you. The voice that drowns out worldly fear, the voice that builds capacity for the supernatural, trust, forgiveness, giving, the voice that prompts you with a desire for more. The tempo of your heart catapults towards thankfulness because this voice is the result of the Creator God designing you, knowing you, saving you, and guiding you in complete grace and mercy. Let's turn down the world and live this through practicing a cadence that ends the noise and builds your thankful heart. Trust that you will hear. Trust that he is speaking, even if you feel foolish or weird or unsure. He's using those feelings to establish his faithfulness towards you. Remember, John 10, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me. Commit to giving him the space, however big or small, to speak. Let it happen in the Target nail polish aisle. Let it happen in the busy kitchen. Let it happen at your work desk. Let it happen when kids are screaming in the car. Let it happen in church when you don't know the person. Let it happen in the grocery aisle. Let it happen. Give him the space. He told us, call to me and I will answer you. And tell you and even show you great and mighty things. How weird is it that my great and mighty thing is the word teal? He did that one other time on a mission trip in Puerto Rico, and then the word was eggs. Eggs. Right? Ordinary. And when I said that word eggs out loud in ministry time in a church in Puerto Rico where I knew one other person in that room, a man at the back resonated with it. And we prayed. We prayed for like an hour, you guys. He was building a missionary ministry in Puerto Rico and came because the pastor told him that a group was coming in and he just wanted to see other Americans. And when he went to the store, there was one carton of eggs, and it wasn't even the eggs that he liked, and that's what he bought. Eggs, teal, one word, great and mighty things. Do not be quiet when he speaks. Sing it, yell it, whisper the thanks to him. Whatever rises in your heart, immediately tell him why you love him. Haran prayed for me, and the next day I couldn't stop singing my thanks. I worshiped at the gym in my earbuds. I sang in the car. I shared my thanks with Jim when we were talking about what it meant for them to pray for me, how Jesus used them. I couldn't hold my thanks inside, and so I didn't. Even if it seems like too much, it's exactly right for Jesus. I lived a psalm when my nails were teal, when I prayed with him over and over and over again. My heart sang Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength, my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts with unwavering confidence in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I shall thank him and praise him. Did you hear the hidden meaning in my heart over this psalm, over this praise? With my song, really saying with my life, I will thank him. Be bold. When he asks you to take a step of trust in him for yourself or for someone else, your trust and willingness to obey his speaking will be what Jesus uses to grow you in goodness for you. Your voice may be what Jesus is using to cut through the worldly noise for a loved one around you. When he shows you his presence, his sovereignty, his creativity, don't hold it inside. Share it in thanks. This Thursday, kickstart the next several weeks of a holiday rush that echoes in our lives year after year after year. It's joyful and stressful. So, in each of your everyday moments, I challenge you this week to practice this cadence that ends the noise and builds our thankful hearts. Trust that you will hear. Commit to giving him the space. Don't be quiet about it when he speaks. Be bold when he asks you to take a step. I want to practice this. I want to practice it right now. Just for yourselves. You don't have to look at anybody else. You don't have to talk to anybody else.